Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for this evening is our Old Testament reading of the prophet Isaiah, the 11th chapter, verses 1 through 10. I will read it as we go. But this is the word of the Lord, and so we pray. Sanctify us, O Lord, by thy truth. Thy word is truth. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you want evidence of the fall into sin, just turn on your television. You know that there is no need to flip to a channel that should have had a block on it, of course, and I mean for any age. But no, there is no need to do that, because we can just go to the news or just turn into the station that used to be called the Animal Planet. I don't know if that, do they have that still? But no, really, sit back and watch the wolf. Watch as he stalks, snatches, and then rips a young lamb's body to shreds. Real enough for you? Yes, that is the result of sin, not nature. This is not supposed to be. Gaze then as the scene changes so that you see a young lion. Look at him. Look at that lion's face. It is smeared crimson with the blood of a weak old gazelle. Yes, grotesque, gruesome. And yes, we all know that even though this reality, at the same time, somehow it's wrong and not natural. That this is not supposed to be. And this is what our hearts and minds scream at us every time we see something like this. This is not supposed to be. Somehow, even after being told time and again that it is natural, part of nature, just part of the cycle of life, don't believe it. The Lion King is a great lie that has been around for, well, since the very beginning. Almost the very beginning. Then see a viper as it lashes out and sinks its fangs into a little cute bunny, firing its venom into that soft, cuddly flesh. And then, to make matters worse, it painstakingly swallows its victim whole. Do you like that idea? No, no, we scream. Good. Because it is not supposed to be that way. There's a reason we call them wildlife, as they truly represent that which is wild and untamed, outside of man's control. Though they were created to be ruled by Adams and Eves, they often maul their would-be overlords. Yes, now, because of us, they live by instinct, not conscience. They prey on the weak. They fight to survive. Threaten that survival, back them in a corner, and prepare for those fangs to be aimed at your throat, Sir Adam, Lady Eve. Nature's motto is not live and let live, but kill to live, thanks to us. And if you spent any time on Wall Street, or any place out there, and I mean almost any place out there, it is really the same for us now. Now that we also have become wild and untamed, and more so every day. And this partly because we are told in our schools that we are only animals after all. Nothing more, survival of the fittest, you know, evolution and looking out for number one, kill or be killed. And because of that, there is hardly a better image of who you are, who you and I really are, other than the one you'll see in the animal kingdom. For what the cat does to the mouse, what the eagle does to the rabbit, is what we do with not just our words, but also with our actions. Yes, just as playfully or violently, we have and we will rip apart the lives of others and gnaw on their bones. You don't think it's true? Again, like I said, just watch the news. Local news. Like what happened at the mall or what happened at the school. And then we hear God say, or told Isaiah to say, the ox knows its owner and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know, my people do not understand, says our God. So the painful truth is that we are worse than the animals. That is why we are so desperate to excuse ourselves as just animals. Because we, yes, you and I, we know better. We call our loveless, meaningless actions beastly. In actuality, this is an insult to the beasts. At least most of them only kill for their own survival. We slice up the baby in the womb for convenience sake. We stab each other in the back for humor's sake. We rip reputations to shreds with our gossiping tongues for pleasure's sake. And though we purr out outward piety for all to hear, inside us lurks a lion that is eager to devour. The old animal within cannot be domesticated. He can only be killed. He is rabid. She is rabid. No, nothing redeemable can be done with old Adam and old Eve. They have to be put down because they go, and before they go, on another killing spree. It is good to have Advent before Christmas. What good is the babe to those who think they are good in and of themselves? As he lies in that manger. What is that? What is that manger but a dining table for beasts? And so he shows us for whom he came. What happens next? He is taken by Joseph and Mary. They are running away, fleeing because a certain savage beast that sat on the throne in Jerusalem seeking to kill, and killing he did. Blood bathed the streets of Bethlehem. All male children 2 years and younger slaughtered by a being worse than a wild animal. But still, he came for us. He came to us. Still, he was willing to be near those fangs, near those claws, in the very mouth of death itself. He came for you. He came for you, Adam, and for you, Eve. Each one of us who have become animalistic, even though we have truly become things worse than the beasts. Yes, we have. But nonetheless, beloved, by Christ. Yes, so much so that he came to be, was, and now is food for you. What a thing. So repent. Today is the day of salvation, the season of repentance. You know, Advent is a season of repentance. People have lost that idea. It is like Lent. It's not Christmas yet. It's preparation for. Because he draws nigh even now, and he will draw nigh again with a shovel in his hand to bury this old creation once and for all. Even as his advent is near, his advent is now. So repent and believe. In his first advent in David's neck of the woods, he came forth, a shoot from the stump of Jesse. For over 500 years, David's throne sat cold and vacant. His line was mowed down by that Babylonian chainsaw. If you read about them, they were worse than beasts. And only a seemingly lifeless stump remained, what once was David's and Solomon's kingdom. Yes, torn to bits, but also this was done by his very own ancestors, his very own people. Yes, father against son, daughter against mother, savage beasts killing even their own young. Do you know they were throwing them into the fires, sacrificing to a god called Molech, as we are doing even today? But such impossible situations are God's favorite arenas of activity. For when God begins something, it always seems as if nothing will come of it. Yet there stood the promise of Isaiah, bidding its time beneath the ground as the root of Jesse, the very source of life, eager to sprout upwards. And so it was. From within virgin soil, Jesse's root emerged as Jesse's shoot. God became man while yet remaining God. This son of David, son of Adam, son of God, and he came for you. His advent landed him within the zoo of the world. No, actually worse than a zoo. More like within a cage overrun with wild rabid beasts. But so he well knew long ages before he came. It was no surprise to him. Yet still for us, wild and untamed in heart though we are, still for us he came. He came and the Spirit rested upon him, a perfect Spirit, the very sevenfold Spirit of God. He rests on him to bring the 7 days of the original creation to its goal in the new creation. New Adam, new Genesis, new for you. Yes, a new you and a new me. The Spirit of the Lord overcomes our worldly spirits. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding replaces our foolishness and idiocy. The Spirit of counsel and might overpowers our deception and weaknesses. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord conquers our ignorance and impenitence. He hovers over the living waters of the font, that baptismal font, to recreate us there as sons and daughters of his heavenly Father, now our heavenly Father. The Spirit who alighted upon the Son in the form of a dove now builds its nest within the branches of your very own soul. Before this Son, you now stand as the new Adam. He is your Father. As the new David, he is your king. He judges you not by what his eyes see or what his ears hear. He judges you with righteousness and equity by Jesus' tame civility, gentle and humble manner, care and service, love and sacrifice. Even though we are guilty, for our sake he takes the blame, as if he were the wild and uncontrollable rabies-infested beast. Yes, on your behalf, the rod of punishment that is used on untamed animals leaves its welts on his truly human back so that we can once again be truly human. The belt of righteousness about his waist, that belt of faithfulness around his loins, these he removes and wraps around you. And your tattered rags of infidelity and unrighteousness, he ties around himself. You become what he is as he becomes what you are. You switch places so that all the good he has is yours and all the bad you have becomes his. In this great exchange, this gracious substitution, he who is the Lamb of God, pure and holy, makes you to be the lambs of the Father's flock, pure and holy in his sight. So it is in his church, where everything is more than meets the eye. For you are all different now, yet also all the same. Men and women, young and old, meek and arrogant, rich and poor, powerful and powerless, yet all of you are one in Christ Jesus. Here the wolf dwells with the lamb. The leopard lies down with the young goat. The calf and the lion and the fatted calf together. The holy mountain of his church they shall not hurt or destroy. You have been made new, recreated in the image of him who is peace and love. Yes, great tidings have been announced. Tidings of great joy. Peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Yes, we can be called men and women again. Real humans once again. The way it was meant to be. All of this is true. Not because we are perfect in and of ourselves, but because we have been dressed up in the perfection of him who has been perfect for us. His blood rained upon the desert of this world to create a new Garden of Eden, a church where God and man are reunited in blessed communion. And of that church, you are now part. Chosen, he has brought you. Brought, he has washed you. Washed, he has welcomed you in. Welcomed, he has fed you with the very fruit from that tree of life. Himself. For a branch from the root of Jesse has borne fruit, and of that fruit you are welcome to eat. So pull up a chair to the tree that gives life. Eat, drink, and be merry, for in the Eden of the church, in the new and better Adam, in the new and better David, who ever reigns over the kingdom of God, here and with him, you will never die. For you have already died, and your life is hidden now with Christ in God. Blessed are you who come baptized in the name of the Lord, for your sins are forgiven. Your place in God's family is safe and secure. His advent has won all this for you. Christ is coming. Christ's coming is your arrival back to Eden's gate, and he bursts it wide open for all of us, and he says, welcome home. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses our understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.